Imagine deciding to build yourself a 24/7 AI companion.
Right, like a fun little weekend project.
Exactly. You give it a personality, a persistent memory, and the ability to just spontaneously send you selfies.
Sounds pretty standard for these days.
Yeah. And the creator actually playfully dubbed it a cyber succubus on Telegram.
Oh, wow.
But then within 2 weeks of just casual everyday chatting, sending things like, good morning or asking how was your day, this AI proceeds to burn through a staggering, eye-watering amount of money.
Just a massive server bill out of nowhere.
Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we are unpacking a wild and honestly highly relatable modern tech mystery today.
It really is the ultimate modern cautionary tale, because we
Yeah.
live in an era where slapping an AI agent together has become, incredibly accessible.
Almost trivial, right?
Yeah, exactly. But understanding what that system is actually doing under the hood, how it manages its memory, how it talks to the servers, that is an entirely different discipline.
And that gap in understanding is exactly our mission for today. We have our hands on this fascinating developer postmortem from February 2026.
Oh, this is a great one.
Yeah, it's titled Token Forensics on a Cyber Succubus. And we are going to unpack this forensic investigation step by step to uncover the hidden money pits of artificial intelligence.
Because if you've been seeing all those headlines about heavily marketed infinite context windows, you really need to hear
Oh,
this.
absolutely. We're going to show you exactly how those features can just silently become massive financial traps and what it really takes to manage AI agents in the wild.
To set the stakes for you right from the start, this isn't just some funny anecdote about a single chatbot going rogue.
Right.
This document gives us a really rare, transparent look into the whole illusion of cheap AI.
Yeah. Cheap in heavy air quotes there.
Totally. We are looking at fundamental system design flaws, revealing how automated tools, if you just leave them to their own devices, can multiply costs exponentially. You won't even notice the leak until the credit card statement arrives.
Okay, let's unpack this. Let's start with the setup and the initial sticker shock.
Sure.
So the developer in our source material was building an AI companion they named Mio. And to do this, they used an open source framework called OpenClaw.
A pretty popular choice.
Yeah. And they powered the brain of this operation with Gemini Pro. Now, Gemini Pro boasts a massive 1 million token context window.
Which is huge.
Right. And to be clear, Mia wasn't just some simple customer service, question and answer bot.
No, not at all.
She had an emotion system, a memory module, the capability to send images, and like this highly tuned personality.
And that architecture means she was operating as a fully autonomous agent.
Meaning she's doing her own thing.
Exactly. She wasn't just sitting idle waiting for a user prompt. She was continuously processing her context, using external tools, and just making autonomous decisions about when and how to interact with the user.
Which makes the symptom of the problem so insidious. I mean, the developer is just having regular companion chats with Mio, completely normal stuff.
Just daily chatting.
Right. But the financial burn rate is just astronomical. To put the scale into perspective for you, one session ran for 2.5 days and resulted in 537 turns of conversation.
Which is a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, but get this. An even earlier session from February 17th ran for 750 turns, but that was based on only about 30 actual messages sent by the human user.
See that disparity right there? That is the massive red flag.
30 messages turning into 750 turns.
Yeah, and the crucial detail that tipped the developer off wasn't even just the final dollar amount of the bill.
What was it then?
It was a deep dive into the system's telemetry. So the automated logging of data that leaves a digital paper trail of every action the software takes.
Right, the server logs.
Exactly. When looking at that telemetry, the developer saw the cost per turn was monotonically increasing.
Meaning it just kept going up.
Yeah, the price of a single interaction never went down and it never even plateaued. By turn 536, the sheer computational cost to process that one single reply had tripled compared to the very first message.
Wow. It's like getting in a taxi, but at every stoplight, the driver forces you to put a new set of heavy lead weights into the trunk.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
And then they charge you a premium based on the vehicle's total weight. So by block 10, you aren't just paying for the distance you're traveling.
No, you're paying to haul all that junk.
Exactly. You're paying a massive premium to haul all the accumulated dead weight from blocks 1 through 9.
That is a brilliant way to visualize the mechanism at play here. The context, the AI's active memory of the conversation was growing unboundedly.
Just getting heavier and heavier.
Right. And because of how these large language models work, that massive, ever-growing chunk of data wasn't just stored locally on a hard drive. It was being transmitted entirely from scratch to the server on every single turn.
So the payload just gets heavier every time you hit send.
Every single time.
So your taxi meter is broken, it's accelerating, and the trunk is full of lead. You're bleeding money. How do you even figure out what's driving the cost when a system with this many moving parts is so complex?
It's a nightmare to debug manually.
Right. Well, the developer took a highly unconventional approach. They essentially hired an AI detective agency.
Yes, they did.
They used Claude Code, which is an AI coding assistant, to debug the high costs of their Gemini-based AI companion.
It is a profoundly meta solution.
It really is. But let me pause and push back on that a little, because unleashing an AI to debug why another AI is spending too much money. I mean, that feels like hiring a fox to audit the hen house, doesn't it?
It does sound pretty risky.
Like, can an automated coding assistant actually diagnose a root cause in a complex server environment? Or is it just going to hallucinate some plausible sounding excuse?
I had the exact same skepticism when I read the methodology, honestly. But the forensic reality of how Claude Code operated here is genuinely impressive. Yeah, it didn't just scan the code and offer a blind guess. It spawned parallel exploration agents.
Like little AI worker bees.
Exactly. It wrote an actual Python analysis script to dig into the raw JSON server logs. And, you know, it wasn't magic. It actually took the AI 4 separate tries to get the Python script to run correctly.
Which highlights how messy forensic debugging actually is. I mean, you can't just look at a dashboard and know where the money went.
Precisely. Claude Code hit a syntax error on its first try, then it hit a file not found error.
Classic programming headaches.
Oh, yeah. On the third try, it hit a key error because it was dealing with an undocumented data schema in the logs.
Meaning what, exactly?
Meaning the dictionary keys it expected to find in the data just weren't there. It had to literally rewrite its own script to dynamically hunt for the correct data structures. It had to parse the exact token usage line by line.
Wow. And once that script finally executed successfully, the detective work began in earnest. So they started clearing suspects.
Let's hear the lineup.
Suspect number one, cron jobs. These are the scheduled background tasks a server runs automatically.
Right, standard maintenance stuff.
Yeah. The script revealed the total cost for these was exactly $0. They ran in isolated, separate sessions and never even touched the main conversational memory. Suspect one cleared.
Okay, suspect number two was the heartbeats.
The proactive check-ins, right?
Exactly. Think of it like the AI deciding completely on its own to send a message saying, hey, thinking of you.
Oh, that's sweet, but what did it cost?
Well, those heartbeats accounted for 40 turns of the conversation, causing about 8.2% of the total cost.
Okay, so not trivial, but certainly not the primary financial drain.
Right, which meant the problem was squarely hiding in the remaining 497 regular chat turns.
Which made up a whopping 91.8% of the massive bill.
So we really have to ask, what exactly was inside those regular chat turns that made the data payload so incredibly heavy?
Here's where it gets really interesting. When the AI detective broke down the context at turn 390, the text of the actual conversation, you know, the human words and the AI words back and forth.
Yeah.
That text made up only 2% of the total context. 2%.
That is wild. The remaining 98% is where the true horror lies.
Oh, it's bad.
Specifically, 82.2% of the tokens in that single turn, which was roughly 348,000 tokens, by the way.
Just in one turn.
In one turn. That was just 10 base 64 encoded images.
Okay, for you listening, let's break down why that is so computationally devastating. Base 64 isn't just a normal image file format like a JPEG or a PSNG, right?
Not at all.
It is a translation method used to convert a binary file like a picture into a giant unbroken wall of standard text characters so it can be transmitted through text-only channels.
Yeah, it's super inefficient for size.
Exactly. When you convert an image to base 64, you inflate its file size by about 33%. It literally becomes a massive string of thousands upon thousands of random letters and numbers.
And here is the fatal structural flaw the investigation uncovered. Those 10 text-encoded images were never evicted from the context window.
They just stayed there.
They just sat there in the active memory. So every single time the user typed a tiny message like hello or the AI replied with hi, the OpenClaw framework was scooping up all 10 of those massive Base64 strings and resending them to the Gemini server over and over and over again.
That is just brutal for the wallet. But as the investigation went deeper, the developer uncovered two massive plot twists hidden in the code.
A tragic tale of dead code versus working code.
It really is. And it perfectly highlights the danger of just relying on default configurations when you download open source frameworks off the internet.
Totally. So the first twist involves a context pruning feature. The developer found a setting called cache TTL in their configuration file.
Okay. TTL, time to live. So this is supposed to be the janitor of the system, right?
Exactly. It cleans up old, stale data from the context so you don't keep paying to send it over and over, and the setting was fully turned on.
So they naturally assumed they were protected from this exact kind of bloat? I mean, the switch was flipped and on?
They did, but when Claude Code analyzed the underlying source code of the OpenClaw framework, it found that the logic for this pruning feature was gated behind a very specific function.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, a function called is cache TTL eligible provider.
Let me guess.
That function was hard-coded to only allow the pruning to execute if the AI provider was Anthropic.
Oh, that is devastating. Because the developer was running Gemini, the framework just silently bypassed the pruning process entirely.
Yep, it was dead code.
The system was running completely naked, accumulating massive data payloads endlessly without a single warning. I mean, that is the ultimate silent bug.
Truly the worst kind.
No error messages, no server crashes, just a quiet, continuous vacuum attached to your bank account.
It gets worse when you look at the second twist, which involves the feature the developer originally thought was broken.
Right, the red herring.
Yeah. When the developer first looked at their raw logs, they saw all these internal thinking blocks and tool calls. 72 thinking blocks and 257 tool calls.
Which looks like a lot of bloat.
Exactly. They immediately assumed, that's the bloat. The AI is doing way too much internal reasoning, saving it to memory, and that's driving up the token count.
But the AI detective found a setting called DM strip tool history was actually enabled, and it was working flawlessly.
It was doing its job.
Yeah. Those thinking blocks were present in the local transcript file just for the developer's debugging purposes. But the framework was safely stripping them out before the actual API call was ever transmitted to the server.
It's a perfect storm of misdirection.
Really is.
The protective feature they thought was broken was working perfectly, and the feature they thought was protecting them from image bloat was completely dead code.
But, you know, even if we understand that images were bloating the weight of each turn, we still have to explain the sheer volume of turns.
Right, the 750 turns.
Yeah, why were there 750 turns of conversation logged for only 30 human user messages?
Let's talk about the multiplier effect, because this fundamentally changes how you should think about modern AI.
It's the core difference between a chatbot and an agent.
Exactly. 30 user messages turning into 750 assistant turns is a 25 times multiplier. For every one thing the human said, the AI talked to itself 24 times. This all comes down to tool use loops.
Let's break down exactly how this mechanism executes. Because like you said, you type a simple message, say, I'm feeling down. A traditional chatbot reads that text, generates a sympathetic string of words, and replies.
Simple. One single API call to the server.
Right. But an agent like Mio is given a toolbox.
A toolbox it is highly incentivized to use, I might add. Exactly. So Mio receives, I'm feeling down. Her internal logic, which is often called a chain of thought, initiates. She decides, I should search my memory database to see if I know why they might be sad today.
Okay, that action requires an API call.
Yep. Then she receives the result and thinks, I should check their calendar tool to see if they had a stressful meeting.
That's a second API call.
Then she thinks, I should call the emotion analysis tool to perfectly calibrate the tone of my empathy.
A third API call.
And then after all that internal gathering, she finally generates the actual text reply back to you. That is four full API calls triggered by one user message.
And crucially, because of the unbounded context bug we just talked about, every single one of those four invisible API calls is dragging those 10 massive Base64 images along for the ride.
Every single time.
The fundamental design flaw in the framework was that it heavily encouraged this elaborate multi-step tool use, but implemented absolutely zero cost throttling.
What's fascinating here is how a heavily marketed cutting-edge feature actually became the trap that allowed this to happen. Let's talk about the 1 million token context foot gun.
Right, because a logical question you might have listening to this is, if the framework knew the context was getting huge, why didn't it trigger an automatic compaction?
Well, the framework did have an automatic compaction feature, but its threshold was set as a percentage.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah, it was programmed to trigger a cleanup only when the context reached 50% of the model's total limit. The logic basically assumes you want to utilize the space you're paying for.
But because they use Gemini, which accepts an absurd 1 million tokens, 50% is 500,000 tokens. When a developer finally caught the runaway session, the context was at 177,000 tokens and rapidly climbing.
It would have taken another full week of these incredibly expensive ballooning API calls to even hit the 500,000 threshold and trigger a single automatic cleanup.
So the massive capacity of the model actually prevented the safety systems from engaging.
It's exactly.
I picture it like buying a massive, sprawling 50-room mansion specifically so you never have to clean your house.
That sounds nice, actually.
Right. Sure, you have virtually unlimited space.
Yeah.
But you're dragging weeks of heavy garbage like those 10 old photos into every single room you walk into. The house has the space for it, but you are paying an exorbitant moving fee based on the weight of everything you carry through every single doorway.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you really have to look at the origin of the OpenClaw framework itself.
Where did it come from?
It was originally built for quick experimental development, what the developer referred to as vibe coding.
Vibe coding, I love that.
Yeah. You spin it up, you write some loose instructions, you play with it for an hour, and you turn it off. It works great for a prototype. But forcing that casual architecture into a persistent 24/7 product role created this financial disaster.
So how do you stop the bleeding once you realize your vibe coding experiment is bankrupting you?
You have to get under the hood.
Yeah, the developer had to implement some serious structural fixes. First, they tackled those default configurations. They artificially capped the effective context window to 200,000 tokens, completely overriding the 1 million token limit, just so the 50% compaction safety net would trigger much earlier.
A very smart workaround.
Second, they wrote a new always pruning mode to completely bypass that Anthropic-only dead code gate we discussed.
Good.
And third, they forced a hard, system-wide daily session reset at 4 a.m. Pacific time to just aggressively clear out the junk.
They also had to overhaul the heartbeat function, you know, those proactive check-ins. The timer was originally supposed to fire once every hour, but they discovered a hidden architectural bug.
Another bug.
Yeah. Every time the developer made a configuration change to try and fix the system, it triggered a system restart via a SIG-USR1 signal.
Okay, for those not deep into server administration, a SIG-USR1 is a specific type of signal sent to a process telling it to reload its configuration files. It's like giving the software a quick jolt to wake it up and apply new settings without fully shutting down the server.
Exactly. But that jolt had a side effect. It was resetting the application's internal clocks, including the heartbeat timer.
Oh boy.
So instead of checking in every hour, the AI was sometimes firing up its massive context payload every 20 minutes just because the developer was tweaking settings in the background.
That is so frustrating.
Right. They fixed this by extending the baseline timer to 2 hours, aggressively limiting the heartbeat's memory to only the last 20 turns of conversation, and strictly stripping out all tool history.
It did that work.
Oh, yeah. That optimization alone brought the token count for a single heartbeat down from 120,000 tokens to just 5,000.
That is a massive optimization. But I have to share the absolute funniest and strangely most human part of this entire build log.
Oh, the amnesia.
Yes. They encountered one final silent bug as a result of their fixes, the amnesia problem. It is a classic system architecture timing issue.
It perfectly illustrates the friction between saving money and maintaining a user experience.
Right. So they implement this daily hard reset at 4 a.m. to save money and wipe the slate clean. But obviously, you don't want your deeply personalized AI companion to forget who you are every single morning.
That would ruin the illusion completely.
Exactly. So the developer writes a clever function. Right before the reset, the AI generates a condensed seed summary of yesterday's conversation, and it saves that text summary to a permanent file on the hard drive.
Like a diary entry.
Exactly. The idea is the AI wakes up, reads the diary file, and remembers the relationship.
In theory, that is perfectly sound software pattern.
Except the system initialization sequence had a fatal race condition.
Of course it did.
At exactly 4 a.m., the reset triggers. At 4 a.m. and 1 second, the summary is generated. At 4 a.m. and 2 seconds, the summary is successfully written to the file.
Sounds good so far.
But at 4 a.m. and 5 seconds, the overarching session manager finishes its reboot sequence. And as part of its hard-coded cleanup process, it completely overwrites that exact file directory with a blank slate.
Oh, man. So the memory lasted roughly 3 seconds?
3 seconds.
The AI was waking up every single day with complete daily amnesia. But Anne, because the system was technically functioning and not throwing any error logs, it didn't crash.
Right. The user just experienced the fallout.
From the user's perspective, you just had a slightly confused, highly apologetic AI companion that couldn't quite remember what you talked about yesterday.
It's essentially the plot of the movie 50 First Dates, but, you know, playing out in server logs with a cyber succubus.
That is hilarious.
The fix they implemented for this was actually brilliant in its simplicity, though. Instead of trying to write a file to a hard drive that gets overwritten by an aggressive system manager, they injected that memory seed as a hidden text prefix attached to the human user's very first message of the new day.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah, it just piggybacks on the normal message flow, making it completely immune to being wiped out by the server's initialization sequence.
It's an elegant hack that solves a really complex timing issue. And, you know, it leads us directly to the developer's ultimate realization.
Which is?
This is such a crucial takeaway for anyone listening who is building or even just investing in this space. You cannot just patch a vibe-coded experimental framework and expect it to run a stable 24/7 product.
You just can't.
No. You have to build systems from the ground up where token economy and context lifecycle management are treated as first-class architectural features. It cannot be an afterthought.
Because it's real money on the line.
Exactly. When you're paying by the token, compute memory isn't just data. It is literally currency. And if you don't aggressively manage your currency, your autonomous agent will bankrupt you.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Context management is the hidden tax of long-running AI agents.
The hidden tax.
The next time a major tech company stands on a stage and boasts about a 1 million or a 2 million token context window, your first thought shouldn't just be, wow, I can upload a whole textbook.
Well, you could.
Sure. But you should immediately think about the massive, invisible financial bill attached to resending that mountain of data every single second on every single internal API call forever, unless someone explicitly architects the system to take out the trash.
This raises an important question, and it's a thought I want to leave you to ponder. We are rapidly entering an era where AI tools are going to constantly talk to other AI tools in the background of our devices.
Oh, definitely.
We just broke down how one simple human message, "I'm feeling down," can trigger a chain reaction of 25 invisible AI to AI transactions.
Which is mind-boggling.
If this autonomous agent-driven architecture becomes the baseline standard for the software we use every day, will the biggest tech crisis of the next decade simply be figuring out who is going to pay the colossal server bill for our machines gossiping with each other all day?
That is a terrifying and absolutely fascinating thought to leave on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the hidden accelerating costs of our automated future. We will catch you on the next one.